We want to welcome you to the Awakening Moments podcast today. I'm here with Rhonda, and Rhonda, we are just cooking with fire today.
We are on it.
We've been up since 6 a.m. And I had a lot of coffee. I don't know if you can tell, but I feel like I'm talking a mile a minute.
You're doing great.
I'm like hyper.
Yeah. Did you have coffee this morning? I'm on my second. I'm still not as hyper as you. I need to catch up.
I feel like I'm like talking a mile a minute. I'm like a motor mouth over here.
We are just
you
pumping
know what's
them out.
Funny though is I have been a little bit hyper all week this week. I'm like hyper this week. I'm like on hyper overdrive this week.
Is there a reason why?
Well, it's also just getting a lot done. But do you know what I mean? You know how you and I sometimes we go into this mode where there's so much to do.
Yeah, adrenaline just goes.
And then you get into this like overdrive, like this hyper overdrive. And I'm like, I'm hardly sleeping and waking up and I'm not tired. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's going to come a crash. Definitely there's going to come. But I'm like, I'm just going.
You're just riding the wave. But it's almost like when a conference comes to, people are like, you must be so tired. I'm like, no. You don't understand.
So excited.
I am so excited. Adrenaline. But ask me in a week. I may not be able to string a sentence together.
Yes, but no, it's true.
You're filled with adrenaline today.
Yeah,
so
go mode. Anyways, but this is also why I love that we take time to do this podcast, because even in our conversations, it does just give us a little bit of time to start to slow down in a verbal processing kind of way of processing our faith, processing these conversations. And I love this series that we're doing on the Lord's Prayer.
So good.
Because it is doing exactly that, like breaking down the elements of the Lord's Prayer and really just unpacking them line by line is really just giving us a chance to kind of dig deep into the meaning, the depth, the understanding, and the provision of Jesus as he said to us, this is the way I want you to pray. Like, this is how I'm teaching you to pray. And so I love that we even just get the opportunity in the midst of, you know, all of the excitement of what's going on. I mean, how many things do we have on the agenda today? And
not much.
Yet we pack in, you know, early yep, in the morning yep. and just have this connection time and have this time with the Lord and have this time with all of you. We just love this. We love this.
It is so good.
So anyways.
And thank you for those of you. Actually, sorry to interrupt you, Lori, you for those of you that tell us.
Yes.
I love it when we'll be chatting and someone's like, oh, I listen to your podcast. I'm like, what? And it's not so much just like, yay, we got a big following. It's like you feel like people are on the journey with you. And we just want you to know it means so much to us.
It does.
Because we love hearing from you. We really do love hearing it.
Because we love that you're here with us today.
Yes.
Like we love that you're here listening with us. And so thank you for that. It is so good. All right. So let's start today with the Lord's Prayer. Let's just center ourselves into this again and just take a quiet moment and just receive from the Lord, from this model that Jesus taught us for how to pray. Let's just center ourselves and then we'll dive into our specific line that we're going to unpack. So from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it says, pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So I love that this topic today is, and
lead us not into temptation.
I have a different translation.
Oh, what does yours say? What does yours say?
Mine says, and don't let us yield to temptation.
Okay.
So lead us not into temptation.
Lead us not into temptation.
And yield, which is an interesting being led and yielding. It really is a surrender piece here, giving into.
I mean, even when you read that line, I think it's really important just to say, lead us not into temptation. The assumption here is not that God ever leads us into temptation. We're not praying, lead us not into temptation, as though God would lead us into temptation and we're asking him not to do that.
Because God cannot tempt you.
He doesn't do that. And the Bible is very clear.
Yes.
So it's funny how even just this particular translation or the English language is translating it from the original Greek language, that's how it's written. Yes. But that's not the actual English meaning of how we would say, like if I would say to you, like, do not, you know.
Don't tempt me.
Yeah. Don't tempt me. It's because you are tempting me, right? Like, it's because you are, but that's not the heart. So I love that even your version says.
Yep. Don't let us not yield to temptation. So that giving into, I'm following, lead us not into temptation, meaning like, I don't want to be led, in, like, help me not to lead,
help
go in that
me
way.
Not to be exactly. led into
or
the way of
not
temptation.
Or me not to yield to yep. it. Yeah.
Yep. Because the reality is that that's exactly our,
that's our bend.
Yeah. That's exactly our bend. Like, that's our inner inclination.
Yeah.
Is to be led towards the very things that we're tempted by. So that's, I think, our first acknowledgement today.
Yeah.
Is that we are continually led into temptation, not by God, not yes. by God, but by our own inner sinful nature, our own fleshly nature, the desires of our flesh. Like, these are driving us towards the way of temptation, the way of evil. Why? Because Galatians says that inside of us, there's a war. There's a yes. war that's happening yes. between our flesh and our spirit. That's happening. And it's at war. It's warring inside of us. So we need to acknowledge that that's happening. We need to recognize. And then we need to recognize our own bend. I like how you said our bend towards being tempted, towards being led to the very things that will lead us away from
yeah.
the provision that everything else we've learned in this prayer, the very abundance, the very provision that God has for us.
I know it's really interesting when you think of temptation in the sense of from this perspective of warfare, we often focus on like the devil and, you know, the enemy and like we have to fight this war. Actually, the greatest war is between my flesh and my spirit inside. Yes, I'm not taking away that there is a supernatural war on the outside and like what's happening in the spiritual realm, but actually I have to contend all the time for my spirit to override my flesh. Years ago, there was, this is going back, okay, a long time ago, VeggieTales, okay. There was one on the lie. I don't know if you remember the VeggieTales yeah. lie, and it became a big monster.
Right, yeah.
I often think of my flesh and my spirit like that.
Okay.
That when we feed something, it grows bigger.
Okay.
And it's really like, what are we feeding in that day? What are we actually cultivating or defeating? And it's like, if that lie or that, not lie, but that my flesh and my spirit, this type inside, my own temptation, my own sin, if I'm giving into my own way, my flesh, into my own sin, that is going to grow bigger and bigger. It's like I'm feeding it. Or am I starving that? That's actually like a starving and feeding my spirit by giving it and allowing my spirit to grow. One is looking to be fed. And I'm telling you, my flesh is the hungriest, most ravenous, usually the loudest, but my spirit is actually the most fruitful and life-giving. But what is the loudest is usually the flesh. So the first thing you hear is like the flesh, ding, that's what I want. This feels right. My heart leads me astray. It's what we, whatever it may be. But all that I'm saying is like, there's a feeding that can happen. So what are we feeding and what are we starving? And this is what God, I think, is saying is like, there is temptation always at work within you. Never mind the so much on the outside that we have to, but it starts from the inside. When I'm led to something, there's something that's happening inside first and the outside is a reflection. It's actually the outcome what actually was birthed in me long ago. So I think actually this is what I feel the most is when I face these moments, like, what am I feeding? What am I starving? Am I starving the wrong thing? And I'm feeding the wrong, like on a day, like what have I fed and what have I starved? And it's a crazy, but I often think of I think it was called The Fib.
Yeah.
And it was about a lie.
Yes.
But actually, I remember watching it when the kids were little being like, this actually feels like this is my spirit and my flesh. That's what my flesh does. It becomes this ravenous monster. But when my spirit is fed, oh, it becomes this beautiful gift. But man, it's a contending of what will I starve and what will I feed?
I love that. I love that analogy because it makes me think about when you go to the gym or when you're wanting to get in shape or you're wanting to exercise your body, there's like this resistance that needs to happen in order for you to build muscle or for you to, you know, get your heart into shape. You get the movement. And the movement that's necessary. And you hit this wall, like every time it's hard, like it's actually hard. It's not easy to do. This battle, this war that's inside feels a little bit like that battle for, because your body's saying, oh, stop, that hurts. Stop doing that. Why are you doing? Your mind is literally telling you, ow, that hurts. Why are you putting yourself through that? You're tired. Your legs are sore. Why are you continuing to walk? Go home, sit on the couch. Your physical body is screaming at you, literally saying, this is bad because it hurts. But that's kind of how it feels a little bit in the flesh and the spirit, because the flesh wants to lead us to this gratification place.
Yes.
This like, just this like instantaneous gratification of like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, sit and crawl into this comfort, cover myself under the covers, hide in all of my most comfortable places, where again, when we're trying to move to a place of health, it just requires that tension. And actually, it's a little uncomfortable and it's painful. And so we have to be able to trigger our minds that when that discomfort comes, that discomfort's not a bad thing.
Yes.
Right? That's actually leading us. We have to ask ourselves, okay, who do I want to be in this moment? And is giving into, yielding to this temptation? I think of a yield sign, you know, when you're driving in traffic. So when you yield, it's usually you're either going to turn or you're going to go into the moving traffic in some way. And you usually have to stop. You That's have to good. Slow down. You have to look around. And this is what it's saying, like, help me not to yield. Help me actually not to stop and slow down and then give into. Help me to keep going.
Yes.
Help me to keep going in the
stay
plans,
on these paths. Yep.
Stay on the path. Stay yep. the course. Stay on the narrow road, right? Help me not to yield and stop and slow and give into this need for comfort that my physical flesh is constantly screaming for, is constantly screaming to be fed, is constantly saying, this is the good way. This is the good way. And honestly, the hard part about it is gratifying.
Oh, and it feels so good.
When we give into our temptations, it is gratifying for a moment, but yes. every single time, every time, regret follows.
Yes.
It does
yes.
at some point.
It has a companion. It has many companions.
It really does. Regret yes, will eventually does. Follow. You'll eventually go, wow, like, continuing this behavior is not helping me become the person, number one, that God wants me to be. Number two, the person I want to be, the person that I desire to be. This is not helping me in any way. This is actually working against me. And so wow. you feel that fight that's happening. I think there's a reframing that needs to happen where we are reminding ourselves that this discomfort is good.
Yeah.
That this discomfort is part of the journey, the road, the pathway to becoming who God has called us to be, to becoming a person who walks not by the flesh, but by the spirit. Because truly at the core of all of us, I don't care if you're a Christian or not. If I gave you the option of walking in the works of the flesh, which are like, I don't have them in front of me, Galatians 5, malice, lying, sinful pleasures. There's like a whole covetousness, envy, jealousy, strife. Like there's yep. this whole list of the works of the flesh. And if I said, I can give you all of these, you can have all of these, or you can have all the fruit of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-discipline. Yep, you can yep. have this. Like yep. if I gave you as one or another, as a whole package, there's not one human in the planet that would be like, oh,
give me strife.
Sign me up. Sign me up for the flesh side. Like I want all the works of the flesh.
No,
nobody. This is a no-brainer. Like this is a no-brainer, but yet it's not. Yet it's not. So the result of the works of the flesh always yield the things we do not want in life. Yet there's a discomfort that we have to allow and embrace and walk in order to live out the works of the spirit, which are the desire of every human's heart, whether you know Christ or not. It's not even at that point, it's not even about God, although it is about God because it's the works of his Holy Spirit. But just in a literal human sense, we would way rather live that out.
I know. Is that so powerful? Or like when you think of just even what you shared, the scripture that we had shared before that, the portion was forgive us our sins.
Right.
As we forgive those who sin against us. But the forgive us of our sins of recognizing our actual innate nature is sinful. And when we actually see that, we acknowledge it, we come into that place of recognition, that is actually the safeguard from yielding into temptation. It's doesn't mean we'll never fail or we'll never fall, but it absolutely, as we walk in that place of God, I recognize my sin. I recognize that I am bent this way. Forgive me, help me, show me. It really does put a safeguard from the yielding. It really is the gas to keep us moving. But if we don't have that recognition of how terrible our sin actually is in the face of a holy God, that it's not little sins, big sins, sin is sin. And if we don't have that ability to recognize, like, I grieve the heart of God with my sin, then I'll just yield to temptation because nothing's a big deal. But the thing is, that's how it starts. That's the work of the enemy. It's like just that little bit of bait and knows our bait, and the bait is in us. It's in us. So it feels like we don't even always notice it. We just kind of get hooked in before we know we're in some boat and we've had this wreck of carnage and it's been terrible. But it starts with that little bait. And that is really, if we don't have the recognition of sin in our own lives, repentance and confession with God, this practicing, I think it's almost impossible to not yield into temptation. It's already a journey that it's not meant to be perfect, but it's impossible if we don't have that recognition of our own sin with God and a confessional place with God. I think you'll just walk into it every time because you just aren't in living in that space.
That awareness is not there. No, I think you're so right. Beautiful. I think you're so right. And that's also part of why Jesus has ordered it in that way. Like, I think it's actually the cue and the clue to how we overcome temptation. If we can live with an awareness of the sin and our propensity to that sin and where we're being triggered and where we're being, and if we can live in the humility of repentance,
yes,
then we're walking in the healing. It actually is the antidote,
yes,
to not giving in to sin. I mean, Jesus, you know, in the scriptures, there's a story about Jesus going into the wilderness and he was tempted. Like, he was actually tempted by the devil himself around specific things. And temptation in the word itself means that there's a temptation there that he's like considering.
Yeah,
this could be. I wonder, like, temptation is an inner desire that we have. It's touching on an inner fleshly desire. And so the fact that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness shows that he actually embraced the fully man part of his role of coming to earth. And he walked through that. Now, what we learned from the way of Jesus was he navigated temptation perfectly.
Yes.
He navigated temptation in complete and full submission to God, in complete and full submission to the word. And he shows us a model for how to overcome temptation. Now, Jesus never sinned. And so Jesus did not have to walk the same road that he's given us even in this prayer, because he never did fall prey to his temptation, which then would have been falling prey to sin. He never did. He never sinned. He was a man, fully man. He came to earth and he never sinned. But he did show us a way. He showed us the way that we could walk. And not only that, but he gave us the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He poured out. He came and left so that he could pour out the Holy Spirit to be with us, to help us as the helper and the guide, to be able to give us help in our time of need. And the scripture's super clear about that, all of these things are available to us. Like, I know Corinthians talks about how there's always a way of escape from temptation. But this brings us back to our very first prayer, even about give us this day our daily bread. Are we seeing the provision today in the midst of my temptation that God actually has a different road, a different provision, a different way than the way of my temptation, the way of my flesh, the way of the desires of my flesh that are going, oh, that sounds like a great idea. Mm. We just went through Genesis 1 and 2 in the scriptures, and 3, where Eve was tempted. And, you know, the scriptures talk about sort of the anatomy of a temptation, right? Like, what was involved before sin ever entered the world. You know, Adam and Eve lived and were created and not born in sin. They were the only two humans that weren't born into sin. And so they experienced a life outside of sin. Yet they were tempted. God gave them free will. They actually had the ability to decide whether they wanted to follow the way of God in obedience and submission, or whether they wanted to give into the temptation that existed in their heart. And the Bible says that, you know, all the way back in that very first temptation, that Eve said, I might not remember all these off the top of my head, but she said that they, that the fruit was pleasing to the eye, that there was like something about it that looked appealing, that looked like something she desired and she wanted. And temptation always has that. It always has this element of like, this looks like something I want.
Yes.
Looks like something I need. And the interesting thing about it is that the serpent, when he tempted her, he never actually told her to eat the fruit. Mm-hmm. He just tempted her with what would happen if she did, what she would gain, what, but he never said to her, you should eat this. He never said that, which is interesting that he didn't give her a directive or anything.
It was subtle and sly.
It was subtle. And he, all he did was he got her eyes off the tremendous provision that was in front of her by every other tree in the garden that also looked pleasing. Like, I guarantee you that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was no more beautiful than any other tree. It was perfect. Imagine, like, have you ever seen the beauty of like farmland fruit trees when they're in full bloom? Can you imagine every type of seed bearing tree and fruit available for them? I mean, we live in Canada. Like, we don't have, you know, we don't have any, really. We get apples in the fall. Like, yeah. And that's like the most abundant. But imagine mangoes and avocados and banana trees and like all of these incredible tropical beautiful seed bearing trees. I guarantee you that one was not any more beautiful. But when we fixate and focus on, I want that, it's like tunnel vision.
It's so true.
Every other provision that's around, that God's saying, no, I've given you all these other things, that one is not good, but everything else, I've given you all of this, everything is yours, right? This is exactly the anatomy of a temptation for us too. We fixate on that one thing we want, and it has to be that way, and it looks like this, and God's saying, look at all of these other things I've given you. I've given you more than you could ever actually fully walk out, embrace, have. I've given you so much more. And yet that's the one thing that's not good for you, wow, you want, right? And so, and then the second part of that was that it was desirable because it was going to bring wisdom. It was going to bring a wisdom that she did not believe she had. So there was something that she did not believe that she had that she thought she needed. It kind of answered a provision that she thought she needed when God said, no, I've already provided. I've already given you everything that you could possibly need. And Satan said to her, it's going to make you like God. But she was already like God.
She's made in his likeness. Isn't that wild?
She was already like God. Yeah. What?
Yeah.
So I just think about all these things that vie for our affection, that vie for our attention, that promise us a result of something that God already said, I already gave you that. I've already give you intimacy and relationship with me. I've already given you forgiveness. I've already given you redemption. I've already covered you completely. I've already given you love and joy. I've given you life. I've given you, I've already given you.
Yes.
And I've created you in my image and my likeness. I've made you to, right? Oh my goodness. But I get it. Even as we talk about it, I get it. Because yet I fall into that.
We do it. We all do it.
All the time. I'm like, what? I get sidetracked and I'm like, oh, this is it. This is the answer. This is what it. And he's like, okay, here we go again. Crazy, eh?
I know. We're not different. It's so easy to like really bash on Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
We're no different.
Yeah.
We do the same thing over and over. How many apples do I take of the tree of this will bring me peace, this will bring me happiness, this will bring me wisdom, this will make me feel, it's all lies. But isn't it interesting that it's something inside? what her reaching for that fruit was actually something that was already happening inside of her. It didn't just happen all of a sudden. It was something that drew her. It was enticing. There was a sin inside that was like, there was a desire inside that was birthing into sin. As we've talked about in James, that scripture lore, if you want to read that scripture in James, it's a beautiful
articulation
of exactly what happens with temptation and sin.
Yeah. And this is James chapter 1, verse 13. It says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So right there, that's a great verse just to counteract the way that this is read, you know, and lead us not into temptation. It's not as though God does. He can't. It's not possible for him. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. So here are the steps. We see each person's tempted and lured by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. So the temptation itself is not sin.
That's right.
I like that. That's right. Clear.
Yeah.
So we're enticed by our own desire. So we're tempted. That's not sin. Then desire, when it's conceived, gives birth to sin. So then temptation goes into sin when it's acted upon. And then sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. So there's actually another step. It's not just when we give into temptation. There's another step that when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death.
Oof.
Interesting.
I know. And the enemy comes to rob, steal, and destroy. But God has come and he will give life. So this is the opposite. And we see in scripture that Jesus even went, like we talked about, Jesus going through temptation. But the beautiful thing is because Jesus, thank you, God, did not bypass. Imagine if he would have bypassed the whole salvation plan and given into temptation. Just bypassed the discomfort. He still had to go through all the ministry with us yahoos. Then never mind. Be tortured and persecuted on the cross, painful. He did not bypass salvation's plan. He fully embraced the discomfort, the tension, the working out of living on this earth, of going through the whole plan of salvation, start to finish.
Yeah.
And because he overcame sin and death once and for all, we can have an overcoming spirit because not of our own that we can boast, but the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit lives within us that gives us the ability, and we're not talking this as perfection, but gives us the ability to overcome sin. That when we're tempted, we can have, like we said, the Holy Spirit is present with us. If we walk in a posture of relationship and transparency and repentance and confession with God that this prayer has taught us, we can walk in an overcoming spirit of sin. It will never be perfected on this earth, but we can work in that sanctification, that we're working things out, that we are in a triumphant spirit, that it's not like I have failed, but okay, God, I have grace that next time I can be aware. It's just, I think what I've recognized in my life is, yes, temptation will always be there and I will never always get it right. But I absolutely pray as I grow more mature in Jesus in my years of growing older, that I run faster to the cross and I recognize temptation faster. You know, that it's, once again, it's recognize, may I not yield to it, that I am blowing past those things on my path way more often than I'm stopping and yielding. Do I still stop and yield? Yes. But may even in my yielding, the Holy Spirit quickly get me off, that we don't go down the path where it leads to death and sin, the havoc. And when you read what it brings in Galatians, when you read about all of what the sin brings, this flesh brings versus what the Spirit brings, I want to stay on the path of righteousness because of the fruitfulness of it. But may God help us to keep, even if we slow down, that's the Holy Spirit's like, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving, you know, keep it going. Because even if we slow down, even if we start on, he is a beautiful rerouter. He will reroute a path as quickly as we call out to God. But I don't want to be going down this path that now my reroute has to take me on a journey of so much redemption and pain and all of that. He'll be faithful to bring me through it, but those paths can get really painful. May I just, if I stop, he just yells in my ear. And once again, going back, this little pin note, may I not drive the car. Like, literally.
Amen.
Because if I drive the car, I'm taking every yield and every terrible bypass.
little getting off. Ooh, pretty. Let's get off.
Let him drive the car. Can you just drive the car? Yeah. Please, God, drive the car.
Yeah.
But it really is, once again, this beautiful prayer is meant to say, may we not yield. May we absolutely stay in a posture of confession and repentance. And may this prayer be alive in us all the time. Mm-hmm. The Lord's Prayer be working in us because it's meant to bring us life. And I love that. But we recognize it is from within. So when we are tempted, it's going to the root of that. What is that? It's not necessarily what we see on the outside. It's what's happening in the inner heart.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Which again ties us back to that original prayer about, may we see the weight of our sin as the weight of our own sin, and may that be our focus. Because this is a temptation, I think, for all of us. Like, because temptation is birthed out of our own inner desire, it's tempting for us to hold other people to the same standard that we're held to. But the reality is that because our inner desires are different, you're going to be tempted by different things than I'm going to be tempted by. And other people are going to be tempted by different things than I'm going to be tempted by. So what that means is that even some of the choices I make for my life, of course, there's like just wisdom, but there's also just choices that some things are not going to be tempting for me, that they are never going to lead me to sin because they're not a part of the inner desire, the inner working of what's happening inside of me that's leading me towards temptation. We have to be really careful not to get legalistic about like, oh, I'm tempted by alcohol, and so I can never touch alcohol. Nobody should ever touch alcohol. And if you touch alcohol, like, you're not, you're not following Jesus or whatever. Like, we can get very legalistic about what this looks like in the walking out. But I think it's really important to go back to that, you know, that line, forgive us, oh Lord, forgive us our debts. Let's put a focus on like, where am I being tempted? And let that be the biggest thing in my mind and the biggest perspective that I'm walking, so that I'm aware of the triggers from my sin to my temptations. Those are connected. And that I'm focused on the greatness of God, what he's done for me, the redemption that's available, the forgiveness that's available. And I'm not getting caught up in everything that you're doing. Because honestly, that's part of what tempts us. These are part of what sidetracks us.
It's so true.
If I'm really focused on the way you're living, on you falling into all of your temptations, on all the things that I can see happening in your life, well, honestly, all that's doing is that's taking me away from dealing with the things that are going on in my life. And I think when we can stay focused on what God's doing in our own life, it helps us to walk in a more gracious and a more loving way. And actually, it helps us to be more compassionate to walk alongside other people who are struggling. Like, we don't all have to get there right now. We're all processing. Sometimes we take the long way around.
Yes.
But we are called to love each other, to walk with each other, to encourage each other, and to lovingly be able to point out where we're getting it wrong. Absolutely. In relationship, for sure. But that should not be the primary focus. It really shouldn't. That's a sidetrack and that's a sideline of something that we're going to get caught up into in this whole realm of temptation. Because the truth is, your inner desires are different than mine. They are. And that's, I actually love that, because that's also part of what's so personal about our relationship with God. We're all different.
Yes.
We're all different. And it's beautiful. Like, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And that means that I can rely on you for some things that I'm weak in, and that you can rely on me for some things that you're weak in. That comes back to that confessional place. If we can do that in relationship with each other, then we can rely on each other. It's part of how the body of Christ is supposed to be the body of Christ with each other. Let's walk together, and where you're weak, maybe I'm stronger and I can help you and I can pray for you and I can lock arms with you and walk with you. And I just love when I see this playing out in the body of Christ. I see it all the time, and I love it. It's so beautiful. And so I think that's important just to acknowledge.
I think that's so great. And so I think hopefully today, as you've been listening today, that you're encouraged, but you're also challenged to say, like, I want to live in that place of recognizing that those yields are very dangerous. And where are those yield signs? What today are you experiencing of a yield? And is there something you need to confess? And then do you need to actually do something about it? Not just confess it. Do you need to tell somebody? Do you need to be accountable with somebody? Is there a yield sign you just keep stopping at this yield sign, or you're actually moving down this path and you're like, I don't know how to get back on track? Talk to someone, make a phone call, be accountable. Don't do this in isolation. Find someone you trust and be able to really bring an accountability to it. But also, if it's something you're like, man, I've been focused so much on this, but God, like, help me to recognize whatever we've talked about today. May the Holy Spirit just bring to light where you need to go. And so be encouraged that God doesn't want to lead you down temptation. We lead ourselves, but there's a way of escape, and that is through the power of Jesus Christ. So thank you, Jesus, for the finished work of the cross, because we can overcome. We can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We can walk in an overcoming spirit. So be encouraged today.